Hey everyone, it's Connor. Thank you so much for joining us for a brand new episode of Drama. You're gonna love it so much. You're gonna love Rebecca Naomi Jones. We had the best time with her, so get ready for that in a second. But before you listen to this episode on the main feed, I wanna tell you that we also have a bonus feed. Yes, we have a Patreon, Drama Plus, where every month you get extra episodes with your favorite twins, Connor and Dylan, chit-chatting away about all things theater, pop culture, love, and life. We give you the real scoop over there. It's so fun. And it's $5 a month at patreon.com/thedramapodcast. And you also, how could I forget this, get added to our Instagram close friends. What more could you want in life? All right, time for the show. Bye.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in
the shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, I have to admit, I'm very jealous. We were talking a little bit before, but then I said, stop. Let's talk about it once we hit record. You returned to my old home, 54 Below, last night to see a cabaret.
The Countess Cabaret, Countess Luann de Lesseps from The Real Housewives of New York. I know, it felt wrong being there without you a little bit. I think I've said this before,
Oh,
but
I
when you
know.
were when you worked there, I was there with you. I don't think I was ever there without you, you know?
Yeah,
So,
weekly we were seeing
oh my God,
things.
we had the time of our lives. I mean, we saw things
Yeah.
because you were there and you worked on these shows with these artists. I feel like we just took so many more chances on like, oh yeah, like I like them, let's go see it, and it would be the best. We had the best time.
Yeah, I haven't been back since March 2020, like to see a show.
Whoa.
I know. The last thing I saw was Alice Ripley in concert, actually.
Really? I think I was with you, of course, of course, of course. But Dylan, the Countess
You were.
Cabaret. I mean, I remember when she was performing there years ago, but I wasn't into Housewives yet. But to be in
Right.
54 Below, where she famously on season 9 of The Real Housewives of New York, or wait, was it 10? It might have been 10.
You would know
I think it
better
was
than
season
me.
10 when she took the cabaret to 54 Below. You know, Bethany shouted at her, "Life is not a fucking cabaret."
Right.
Incredible. But she's amazing. She's a show woman, Dylan. You've seen her before.
Oh, yeah, she has panache.
Oh, yeah. And she smartly leans into what the fans want, which is all the Housewives references, jokes, songs. There was an interlude where she went to change her outfit and she played one of her own music videos for us to watch. I mean, it
Oh wow.
was
That's
really
camp.
something.
That's
It's
camp.
camp. Oh, it is total camp. She takes it all so seriously.
And you said she did a Cheetah Rivera tribute, which we have to say we have to some flowers to Miss Cheetah Rivera, who again, a 54 Below story. I worked with closely on her shows the last couple of years before the pandemic, and what a pillar that is just it's just so sad, but what a life, 91 years old.
I know, and Dylan, you, I remember you never did this, but you took me up to meet her. I was like, I have
I
to
probably
meet
shouldn't
Cheetah.
have done it. I probably shouldn't have
That's
done it. It was
okay.
probably
Now I have
against
a
the
great
rules.
picture with her, but she was so
Yeah.
sweet. I remember you told her we were twins, and she like looked at both of us and was like, are you sure?
Yeah, she's like, you lying to
But
me?
anyway, the
Anyways.
cabaret was amazing, and Lou spoke on the rumors that she's returning to The Real Housewives next season with a wink. She was like, oh, that'd be a great show. Wink. And it was great. She did do a Cheetah tribute. She sang Cabaret from Cabaret.
I will say her sultry voice, I would say, is suited for the Candor and Ab
I
Cannon.
would agree. I thought, there's our next Sally Bowles. I thought, wow.
Whoa
I'm
now,
kidding.
whoa
I'm
now.
kidding. She should play that Frau role. I forget her name. But anyway, Dylan, we have to jump in with this guest. We're so
We have
excited.
another icon with us today.
Absolutely. I'm stoked. The credits are beyond. So I'm just going to jump into reading this bio.
Let's do it.
All right. Our guest today is an absolute icon, as we said, known across mediums for her starring roles and scene-stealing performances in Broadway musicals and television shows. She was nominated for a Grammy and a Drama Desk Award for her reinvention of Laurie Williams in the Tony Award-winning revival of Oklahoma. Her many other Broadway appearances include starring as Yitzhak and Hedwig in The Angry Inch, What's Her Name in American Idiot, Significant Other, and Passing Strange. Audiences will know her from her recent role in I Can Get It for You Wholesale at Classic Stage Company, Marie and Rosetta, As You Like It, and Love's Labour's Lost with Shakespeare in the Park. A Lucille Lortel Award-nominated Turn-In Murder Ballad, Big Love, The Fortress of Solitude, Wig Out, God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater at Encores, and many more credits, including touring in Rent. She's been in movies like Someone Great, The Outside Story, The Big Sick, and beyond. You recognize our guest from television roles in, and just like that, Genius, Aretha Franklin, Black Cake, Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, Inside Amy Schumer, Limitless, Difficult People, High Maintenance, Smash, and Blue Bloods. You'll also know her voice from the podcast Bleeding Love and Marvel's Wastelanders, Doom. She's always delivering and delighting us, and we're gagged to have this queen on Drama. Please welcome to Drama, Rebecca Naomi Jones.
Killed that. That was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
It's so nice to have you on the podcast. We adore you.
It's so nice to be here. I already adore you both. I was just thinking, I was remembering that I've never been a Housewives person. Please don't be mad. But
never.
I was on that episode of Difficult People that I did, also involved Countess Luann. And I remember that being like a thing that people were like, oh my God, what's she like?
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I've never seen Difficult People, but it's on my list. Is one of those things that everyone loves and just have yet to get to.
Yeah, there was a lot of snark on it, but it was great. And
was that HBO?
It was Hulu, right?
I think it was Hulu. I think it was like early days of Hulu. Yeah, yeah,
it was Julie. Okay.
My girl Shekinah was on it.
Oh,
Shekinah Nathak. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We've been friends since 2003.
Wow. Was that one of your Rent peeps?
Yes. Yeah, so when I was touring with Rent, that same production, we toured through LA and Shekinah was, I think she was living in LA then. And she and her friend Chet, who used to be like massive Rent heads, they were like, let's go see the touring production of Rent, just like old times. And then there was this random after party for this one night that we did in LA, I think at like Formosa Cafe or something. And Shekinah was there and we just like kikied all night and became friends. And you know, over the years, we were like in touch and not in touch and in touch and not in touch. But she became, you know, one of my closest friends.
Oh, that's so special. Shekinah is such an icon. Yeah. I mean, truly. Like,
I know.
So singular.
I know. She's a special, special being. Yeah.
Difficult People was one of those first shows that Hulu had. And it was before the streaming boom, because it was like Hulu had the reruns, but then they had some of their originals like Difficult People. And I think if it would have come out a little later when everyone was used to getting their TV in that way, I know this sounds like a strange thought, but I really think it would have taken off in like a Schitt's Creek type of way or something where if everyone had more, I don't know. I think it was ahead of its time.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think you're right. Because it was very sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And it had that like New York-y, that like really like hardcore New York-y thing, the way like, I mean, it's so different from, but I was going to say the way something like
Broad City, maybe
High Maintenance or something.
Oh, yes.
I do love Broad City, but it is more in the Broad City vein because it's so like, it's much more like straight up comedy, whereas High Maintenance is more, I don't know, moody. And
Broad City. It's like a time capsule of like the New York that I just love so much.
I know. Ugh, I love that show so much. Wish I could have been on it.
I know. I was going to say, I'm shocked you weren't. I mean, it's probably interesting. Like you were always in a Broadway show over the last like two decades. And so like having that schedule and probably trying to squeeze in other things is probably difficult.
Yeah, too. It was a lot. It was a lot. And then auditioning for TV on top of it was hard. It's been nice actually to kind of step back from doing consistent like Broadway shows and off Broadway shows so that like when I'm, you know, now like when I'm putting audition tapes together, which is of course so many now, more tapes than in-person auditions, it's just like I do feel that I can focus in a way that I just was not capable of doing when I was exhausted from doing the 8-show-a-week schedule. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, sorry, I realized that I'm doing that thing where people like sit on their cords. What's it called? Vocal fry? That's where I'm sitting. I'm gonna try and support a little better so I'm not like grating.
Listen, it's early. It's a Sunday morning. We're all just relaxing. We're having our coffee. It's wonderful. Don't worry.
Yes. Cheers.
Yes.
When I sit down to record, my vocal fry comes out. Like
same.
I don't always have it, but it's something about Dylan's boyfriend told me that I need to, you know, speak, you know, I don't know the right term, but he was like, you're going to lose your voice more often if you don't.
Right.
I don't know. I guess sit on it. But wait, do you go by Rebecca or Rebecca Naomi?
Oh, Rebecca.
Rebecca. Okay.
Or Becca. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Some people call me Bex.
Did you choose to go by Rebecca Naomi when you were getting your equity card?
Oy vey, yes.
Yeah.
So this is actually, it's like such a dumb story, but like my real middle name is Eugenie.
Oh, wow.
Yes, which is spelled E-U-G-E-N-I-E. So when you look at it, unless you're familiar with that name, which some people are, it's like a French name originally, but you know, people think it's Eugenie or Eugenie, right, or Eugene, or like Eugenie, or, you know, it's confusing. Uh-huh. And it used to irk me when I was a kid. So of course I tried to, when I was originally joining Equity, I tried to just be Rebecca Jones, because that's what I went by my whole life. And there was somebody who had already taken that name, of course. And so I was like, oh, I'll just, my best friend at the time, her middle name was Naomi. And I had also read somewhere that etymology of that name was that it was a creature from two different worlds. And I just had always been very proud of being mixed and just like being the combination of my two parents and what that brings to my life. And so I was like, okay, this kind of works, you know? So that's why I'm Rebecca Naomi Jones, but I actually don't love being a three name actor. Like, I think it's like a little cheesy. Like, it just takes me back to the, no offense, but like the Brian Austin Green of it all. And I'm like, it just feels a little like actor. And I wish I could take it back. Honestly, like, I wish I could just like go by Rebecca Jones now, but I'm like, I don't know. It feels a little late.
I love Rebecca Jones, to be honest with you. There's something like sort of sexy and,
oh,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, should I just try?
I don't know though.
Should I just like be that person who just now like, they'll figure it out that is the same person, you know?
Yes, but the Naomi is so legendary. I mean, I feel like everyone knows you as RNJ, you know, at the same time. So
see, this is the problem. I mean, yeah. I appreciate that, but
of course.
I don't know.
We'll follow you no matter what.
Okay. You know what? I'll take that to heart.
Yeah.
I'll run it by my people. I really will.
Yeah, there you go.
I got people.
Oh, yeah. We started gabbing right away, but we do like to check in with our guests. Are you well?
I'm doing pretty well, I'd say. Yeah, I've got a couple of things, you know, that are taking it from like the 100% down a little bit. But I would say like overall, I'm very well. I'm very well. I'm mostly healthy and very happy and trucking along and, you know, positive vibes.
Yeah, it's been a good 2024 so far.
It has. It has. Yeah, I feel like there's a good movement, you know? And totally. I feel like especially, I know we've only had like, this is day four, February, but right. I think February is like a good month. I feel like January is kind of like recovery from holidays and all of the pressure we put on ourselves at the end of the year and like kind of gathering our shit together. I don't know if I can use those words here.
Please do.
But I feel like February is like, all right, here we go.
Sure.
Where are we going? How are we getting there?
And I don't know if you can say much, but I know that you've mentioned us that you're working on a couple of things. And are you able to talk about anything that's in the works that you've been doing?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think I'm not allowed to talk about, I mean, it's not like a huge deal thing, but we love when we get a straight offer for TV. It's like, it's very cute to do that. You know, like, I feel like I've been so lucky now with theater to have that happen.
Oh, that's
for a while,
amazing.
but it's so nice to get that for TV, because it's just like the not having to put yourself on tape and just the feeling that like, oh, you know, people do know who I am in this medium, and it does matter the work that I've done, and you know, it's amounting to something. So that's been nice. So I did get an offer for this 3-episode arc on this show, and I'm in the middle of filming that, which has been really nice, really wonderful people, really, really beautiful, wonderful set and lovely crew and cast overall. And it's just been nice and fun and easy. And I like the role, but I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it yet, but
that's okay.
You know,
congrats. Was it that they knew you from something else or that you had been on tape for them previously?
I think it's probably that the casting director has cast me in a couple of things before and probably was like, oh, I know somebody who could do this. That's my guess, but it could be also, I mean, it's a New York show. And definitely like a bunch of theater actors are in it regularly, but also are like in it often as guests. So I feel like it's also probably just like, her, you know, they probably are just, they just know the pool. So that's been really nice. And other than that, I've just been weirdly kind of busy with other things. Like I just did this is the thing that really scared me. I don't do this very often, but I did an assembly and masterclass at my old middle school.
Oh.
And that happened on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. So that's why I'd also been a little bit like, I felt a little overwhelmed leading up to it, just because I had to prep my songs that I was going to sing, but also kind of get my head around, like, I'm going to be the teacher, you know, and like just all of the self-induced drama that comes with that. But yes, things like that, little concerts
that's
that I've
so
been doing.
Cool.
Yeah.
What did you end up singing?
The first idea that I had was that I was going to sing only stuff that I'd sung professionally in shows, but I ended up doing three songs that I'd sung professionally in shows and one song that why don't I just tell you? I don't need all the preamble. Come on, don't.
I love it. I love it. We love context.
Oh, I'm like full of it. So, okay. The first song that I did was actually the song that I love so much from I Can Get It For You Wholesale that I just was in. I sang Who Knows, which I don't know if you know that song, but it's just so beautiful. It's like jazzy and romantic and the lyrics are so good. And it's kind of, the intro is so fun and funny. And I love it a lot. So I was happy to sing that. And then I sang Rosalind Be Merry, which is a song from Shana Taub's As You Like It that we did.
Yeah. Yes.
Shakespeare in the Park. And then I did one of my favorite songs to sing, which is from Love's Labour's Lost, also a Shakespeare adaptation. I did Love's a Gun, just to, you know, punch it out into something a little more dramatic. And then I ended with this song from Children of Eden, which is called Ain't It Good. It's like a huge, big, belty, almost gospel-y song. I mean, it is gospel-y, but it's like not, it's from a musical. I did do that show, a version of it. I did a concert version of it at the Kennedy Center years ago. I was like so in over my head. I had no idea that it was one of those things, much like the production you were talking about of God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, which is at Encores, where like, I just didn't realize, I don't know how I missed out on this, but like, I didn't realize that when you show up for those like concert readings, like there's no reading, like you should show up for that, like quick and dirty Muni style, not that I've ever done the Muni, but like that you should show up for that rehearsal process, like knowing your shit back to front, you know? And I just,
I wonder,
like,
why it's that way.
I don't know either. And I just didn't know. I thought it was going to be like, okay, we're all going to be in this together. It's going to be scary. We're going to learn real fast. And it was like, no, baby, like everybody else knows their songs already. This is basically like brush up rehearsal. And I just, I do not think I was great in my role, but
I'm sure you were fabulous.
It's probably like better than I think in my brain, but anyway, I did not sing that song. I played like the one that's like Ingenue.
Spark of Creation.
No, I think that.
Did you sing that one?
No, I think Spark of Creation and Ain't It Good are the same character.
Okay.
I sang the one that was like something about a bird. Clearly, I don't know that musical very well.
So I do not either. I only know Spark of Creation. So I'm like,
wait, is that Lost in the Wilderness?
Or did I make that up? Yes. That is? Okay. Yes. That was Jeremy Jordan did that part.
Ooh.
Yeah. So like only hacks. But this great other actress sang the part that did Spark of Creation and Ain't It Good. But I remember that song just being so fun to sing it, like even just as her, you know, chorus. And so that I sang for this assembly, because it was a great way to kind of end it. Like I started with like little small, delicate kind of, you know, light, almost lyrical music, and then ended with a big belt song, you know, and then did a masterclass. So it was wild, but fun.
And you said for middle school students?
Yes. I think the assembly was for 6, 7, 8. And then the masterclass, it was just for vocal students. It's not an art school, but there's students who are really into vocal performance and learning that. And I think they were 8th grade.
Okay. I would have loved that. When I was that age, that was when I really got into the arts. So that would have been such a treat. Oh my God.
Totally. Yeah.
You're a New Yorker your whole life, right?
Yeah. Born and raised.
Okay.
Born and raised, wow. Which was so cool because, like, you know, if you are getting into the arts, then there's just so much for you to play with, you know, like I sang in the Metropolitan Opera as a kid, and I took piano lessons, and I took modern dance, and took visual art classes at the Art Students League. Wow. You know, you could kind of like play around and see what moved you.
Yeah. And would your mom just kind of like help you find these things, or was it like you seek it out yourself? Or
okay. Oh yeah, my parents were both artists. My dad was a musician, my mom is a photographer, and they both were just so encouraged. I was very lucky. They definitely believed in me, and they believed that I should absolutely you know, lean into these things. And so, yeah, they just like found the, I'm sure it was my mom and not my dad, but I don't know, like found the places that I went for those things. But I think some of it was like recommended by friends, you know, like I was singing from the start, but I remember that we had another, I think it was probably like a friend that I had made in my modern dance class was in the children's chorus at the Metropolitan Opera. And they were the ones who were like, oh, you should go audition for the children's chorus at the Met, you know? So I think that's how we found out that that was even a thing.
Wow. Where does the Met Opera perform?
Right at Lincoln Center.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Beautiful.
As a kid performing there. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was a dream. It was a dream. It was very cool.
I can picture you all little freckles.
Yeah. It was lovely. And you know, it's such a massive place and there's so much history there. So, you know, it's like signing in at the stage door and all that was just so thrilling. Yeah. It was thrilling.
That's so special.
What was the moment that got you into the arts? Your Ring of Keys moment, as we like to say on the pod.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I was thinking about this and it's tough because it was immediate. You know, my dad, as I said, my dad was a musician and I grew up with like music everywhere and just all around me. And he was always really like working and working with musicians and working with singers. So, I mean, my dad used to tell the story that like, when I was born, he started singing to me and I like raised my fingers up and started kind of moving my fingers and opening my eyes with the lights. And the story goes that my dad was so thrilled that I was like so engaged and he was like, she has long fingers. She's going to play the piano. And he got so excited and like, you know, ran through the hall screaming. Aww. But so I do think like I was so encouraged as a young kid that it was just always in me. That said, I really remember my parents taking me as a young girl to see shows and concerts and musicals. And I remember seeing this, I think it was a musical called Serafina. And I think that was at Lincoln Center Theater, I think. And I remember as a young kid just being really blown away by it. And I also remember that when I saw these shows as a kid, my parents would ask me questions, you know, like, do you see yourself in this? And what was it about this that you liked? And I remember there was another show, I think that was also at Lincoln Center called Mama, I Want to Sing. I still remember there was this hook that was the titular song. And I remember it was like, Mama, I want to sing. Mama, I want to sing. And I just remember being like, yeah, that's me. I want
to
sing.
You turned to your mom and you were like, hey.
Yeah, I was like, hey, girl. But yeah, so those things, I think just having the privilege of getting to see all that culture as a kid, it was kind of inevitable.
Wow. Now I need to hear Mom, I Want to Sing.
Look her up. Look
I need
her
to hear her.
Up.
Yeah. What a bop.
Yeah.
Do you remember what your first Broadway show you saw was?
I think it was probably A Chorus Line. Because I feel like that was, if it was not the first, it was one of the first, because I remember it well. And I remember being really young and I'm pretty sure I saw it with my mom and one of my aunts. And I remember that we sat pretty close up. Like, I think we were in the first few rows and I just remember being like blown away because, you know, they're doing the lineup like downstage and just being so close to all those actors and dancers and singers. And you know, that show just gets you in the spirit of being a performer because you're getting that eye-opening backstage view or the BTS, as it were. So I just remember being like, whoa, this is a world that I could be in. And and then after that, I became obsessed with the movie version of Chorus Line, which is like very silly, but
hey, we liked it.
I mean, I just like, I loved it for years and years. I used to watch that. Like I wore that VHS out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cassie gets a great song in the movie.
Yes,
version. She does.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does. I love it.
Well, obviously you were in Rent and everything. Were you a Rent head though? Like, cause it, when you were a teenager, then it was
kind of, yeah. Like, I mean, I wasn't old enough to be like the original Rent heads or like to wait outside the theater and all that.
Yeah.
But even at the age that I was at, I remember being like, what is happening? Like these characters are young and hip and the music is, you know, contemporary and what they're wearing is so cool. And Mimi kind of looks like me and you know, or like what I want to be. And yeah, it was all so cool and aspirational, really, because like they were older than us technically, but like,
right.
I just remember being blown away. So I was definitely like, I'd say Rent headlight, but I was, oh, I mean, when I tell you I was word for word, I knew that CD.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And you did play Mimi, but you were full-time Joanne.
Yes.
Right, on the tour, and but covered Mimi.
Yes. So when I first auditioned for the Bus and Truck Network's tour of Rent that I did, the first Rent tour that I did, I very specifically remember going in, singing my shtick, and Michael Greif saying, oh, well, you're very much a Mimi, but we already cast a Mimi. But he like looks down at my resume. And he was like, oh, you're like a real actress. You went to conservatory. He was like, why don't you play Joanne and you'll cover Mimi? Which I think was the first time they'd ever done that, like have a Joanne cover of Mimi, because it doesn't really make sense.
Sure.
Just in terms of like how it works in terms of covering roles, you know.
Right.
But yeah, so that's what I did. So I played Joanne full time. And then, I went on for Mimi very rarely in that time, because it doesn't really make sense to have. I think they had like somebody in the ensemble go on for her more often than me. And it was also good because I was so insecure back then. It's so like, the body dysmorphia was raging. So it was fine. But
I'm sorry
to
hear that.
It's okay. It was a many years long journey, but I finally kind of, unfortunately in the last like 3 years have finally just started to, like, I finally figured out how to be kinder to myself and my body and create more like stasis in that world. And that's really nice, frankly.
Yeah. I know it's a journey, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like something you just all of a sudden flip a switch and you're like, you know what, I'm going to be confident now.
Yeah.
It's something that you have to constantly be thinking about, and it plagues people. So I'm sorry about that.
Plagues,
yeah.
I know. I felt like I was fine for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then just in the last like 3 months, oh my God, it's like insecurities I haven't felt in like 5-6 years have come back. It is a journey. I was talk about it as like a train that you kind of never get off, but it slows down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
and it requires practice is the thing. Yeah. Like it's not, I think we have to be kind to ourselves, but we also have to like put in the work, because you have to, you have to actually like keep up with the practice of talking to yourself the right way and doing the right things to actually, you know, keep yourself healthy and just, it's like a weird combination, but you do have to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That made me kind of emotional hearing you say talking to yourself the right way, because I think that is a huge thing for me, is you have to be your own number one fan.
Yeah. And it's hard to do that, because we're not taught to do that, because you feel like it's cocky or wrong, but it's not that. It's not anything about, you know, being any better or more important than anybody else, but it is like, ultimately, this is the body that I'm in, right? Like, this is what I got. So like, I need to show up for her, like, so she can show up for me. I'm so hippy dippy right now, but
it matters.
And then that way I can also to quiet the noise in my brain, so that then I can show up and be more present for my work and for other people. You know, it really is like, put your own mask on so that you can show up for others, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you mean like in the airplane when you,
yes, that is exactly what I mean. I just like, it just, it's, I think so much of this journey, as we said, like of being kinder to myself and being kinder to my body, has actually just been about helping me quiet the noise and like get more focused in the ways that I want to get more focused and my priority straight. It's very helpful.
Yeah. That's
beautiful. Thanks for speaking on that. I think that's helpful to hear too. Cause you know, we look through your whole resume and it's like, you played so many sexy roles and done so many different things. And
yeah. Yeah. But if you knew like the things that I went through with my brain, I mean, it's just, this is so much meanness meanness and insecurity, and like, it's pretty wild. Cause I did, I was a lot of naked, a lot of underwear, but it's so funny, cause now I'm so much more comfortable with my body than I ever was. And it's been a journey. Yeah. But even like, it got bad. I mean, during Hedwig, I mean, it was a separate thing. It wasn't the body stuff, but like panic attacks. I mean, you know,
wow.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. I mean, Hedwig too, like you're in a completely different body in a way, you know?
Yeah. So. But that was so fun.
And you didn't leave the stage in that one.
That's right. No, didn't leave the stage. I loved doing that so much, because it was like, it felt to me like, yes, this is what I went to school for. This is like real mask work, you know, like it's a full body just like immersion into a character, which I loved it so much.
Was there a lot of improv needed with that?
Yeah, there was, especially with John Cameron Mitchell when I got to do it with him. I mean, because he was just so, of course, so comfortable and flexible in that character. So there was just like tons of be ready for anything. But yeah, no, there was a lot of improv, like especially if anything went wrong, which it did with all of the Hedwigs, like something always just, there's stuff that's left open to chance, which is so fun. Mm-hmm. So yeah, lots of improv, which was great. And, you know, it was a great challenge too, because it's like, I was doing an accent and like in this other role. And so you have to really be so prepared, which is so fun, because then you can really just be free and explore things and discover things.
Yeah. You were the only other performer to do the role after Lena Hall, right? On Broadway?
Yeah.
Did you audition for it, or did they ask you to do it?
So I auditioned for it. I had not been in the first round of auditions for it. I think because, or I know this, because originally they were like, look, we're doing this show on Broadway. It's already like a very specific show. We know it's a bit of a risk to pull a show like this on Broadway. And we're going to do all the things that we can when we open it to, you know, I say this word not as a bad word, even though it can be a bad word, to like make it accessible, right? So like Neil Patrick Harris is like a known entity. People love him. And we want to do like a Yitzhak that feels traditional, you know, and feels like the right thing. So
like Miriam Shore or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and let's be honest, not Black, like if we're doing somebody who grew up in Eastern Europe, and yes, of course there are people of color over there, but you know, they were like, let's try to make this as, I guess, as clear almost as possible for people to understand. And so eventually it was like, I had friends all over the city who had been going in for Yitzhak. And I never even thought twice about it, even though I loved Hedwig. I loved the movie. I was a headhead.
I never heard that. Was that what they called those?
Yeah.
Things? Oh, that's cute.
But I loved Hedwig. That's another thing. Like in college, I just the soundtrack, word out. And huge John Cameron Mitchell fan. Actually, when he saw Passing Strange and like had really nice things to say about my German accent, I lost my entire mind. Oof. So I just didn't even I didn't expect to be called in for it. It was not surprised that I was not being called in for it. And then eventually I get a call from Michael Mayer, and he was like, so I have not called you in for this because all those reasons. He was like, well, you know, we're trying to do the, again, without shade, the safe version so that we can actually make this show a hit, make it work. And I was like, totally get it. And he was like, but I keep wondering what your Yitzhak would be like. He's like, I just know you so well. And I just, would you mind indulging me and coming and like doing a work session? He's like, I'll bring you into like the final callbacks. And like, and this is like last minute. I was actually with Shekina again. I was with Shekina. We were like having coffee or lunch or something. And I get this call from Michael, and he was like, would you be up for singing the Yitzhak stuff? And then we'll do a work session. You'll sing through the songs, and then you'll do like an improv with John as Yitzhak.
Oh, so John was there.
Yeah. And I was like, absolutely. And he was like, but here's the thing. Like, we need you to come in as Yitzhak. So, you know, so that was the kind of crazy thing. So Shekina and I went conveniently across the street to a Halloween store, got me some like fake mustache shit and makeup so I could like turn myself into a man. And then I remember like that weekend, it must have been the weekend because it wasn't so quick and dirty. I quickly prepped the accent and, you know, reminded myself of the songs, which luckily I knew. And I did all this prep work on like for myself, for my own brain, like how I, a person of color, came from that area and like what my journey was, what my family history was that got me there, just like made sense of it for myself. And then did a lot of work in the mirror of like figuring out how to make myself look like a guy, and, you know, borrowed clothes from the guy that I think was seeing at the time, or I, you know, it was like just made a character up, and it was so fun. And the work session was so fun because you're not going into like a regular audition room. You're going into like a recording, so like a sound studio space, you know, where you rehearse with bands. And so it was like full band setup, and you're like, got to sing the songs with a microphone, and then getting to do like a Q&A in the character was so fun. Getting to answer. Oh, and I had to sing a song of my choosing as well, which was really fun.
Oh.
I sang Papa Don't Preach as Yitzhak.
Fun.
But oh, you had to do it as a monologue.
Oh, that's a good choice.
I've made up my mind. I'm keeping my baby like that.
Yes.
Which was very fun. And then, yeah, did this like long improv with John. John as Hedwig and me as Yitzhak. And John was like dressed as John. John was like not dressed as Hedwig, but it was still, it was an actual dream. Like that was like maybe one of the highlights of my career. Just like sitting with John, who was like a true icon to me. And
yeah.
And just such a, like a, like an outrageous talent, and just sitting with him improvising, and we had a blast. And I think he kissed me in that too. I think like at a certain point he was like, we were like fighting, pretending to fight. And at a certain point he was like, you know, we made up, and he's like, you know, told me to kiss him. I was like, yes. Okay. So then cut to, of course, I get this email from Michael being like, so we love you so much. And if the show were opening with John, you would 100% be like John's, you know, you guys are, the chemistry is off the charts. And he was like, but we're opening the show with Neil and go with a different choice, which is absolutely fine. It was Lena's time. She was incredible in that role. And it was like, it was meant to be for sure. And like, obviously it worked out well. More power to her, but yeah. So sure. that was that story, which is like, I'm really fine with. It was a special thing. So it was nice when I still got to do the show with John. Like I was so glad that when they asked me to replace Lena, that John was still going to be extending his time.
Yeah, because it was Neil and then was it Andrew Rannells and then John?
I think it was Neil, Andrew, and then Michael C. Hall and then John.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I forgot that Michael C. Hall did.
I wish I had seen Michael C. Hall. I heard he was so good.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, you've done so many of our favorite shows over the years, and I confuse the Michaels. I sometimes confuse Michael Greif and Michael Mayer's work.
Yeah, great thing.
Musicals and whatnot. But I have to ask about American Idiot. You were What's Her Name. Your 21 Guns is something that has been in my mix forever and ever. It's so beautiful. That's the first time I remember really hearing your voice and being like, wow. Mm-hmm. And she's got it. What was American Idiot like? Was that because you had a previous connection to... Was that Greif? Here I go again asking. Or was it Mayer?
No, that's Michael Mayer.
Okay.
And yeah, so that was my first Michael Mayer experience. And I auditioned for it. And I remember just like that was another really fun audition, because it was like, you know, sing a rock song. The initial call was like, sing a rock song and then prepare this weird poem as a monologue. There's like something from the 60s that was like really dark and weird. And I was like, yeah, I can totally get down with this. Cause like, I definitely like loved punk music and loved ska music as a kid. And so I was like, I get down with this kind of like rage art. And then, yeah, as the callbacks went on, you know, got to sing the cuts from I walk a lonely road, the only one and I am. Got to sing that, got to sing Letter Bomb, 21 Guns, like all the, you know, all the What's Her Name hits. And it just was so fun because, again, it was like they had a guitar plugged in for the call. And anyway, so that's something I auditioned for. I didn't know Michael ahead of time, but I just love him so much. And he was like one of those directors who I think like really saw me, you know, and like, I think Michael has kind of come back to me so many times, I think, because he really sees like all of the sides of me, even though I haven't always gotten to like showcase them. So like during American Idiot, I remember during rehearsals and stuff, him being like, oh, wait, you have like this whole other, like, you're like a character actress in like an ingenue's body. Mm-hmm. Like there's all this like funny shit about you where you like got all these characters and voices. And he's like, okay, one day we'll use those.
Yeah. That's you go. And then it paid off.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you have so much range. You've done so many different things. I mean, Connor, I know that we were kind of like trying to cherry pick different projects. Was there anything in particular you were?
Oh my God. Well, Rebecca, I have to tell you, the Oklahoma revival, the songs that you, I mean, it's all great, but the songs you sing on, specifically People Will Say We're in Love, gives me chills every single time. I mean, of course, the, you know, the rumors about the Oklahoma that fucks and everyone's like, this is the show, this is the one.
Yeah.
And then you go see it and it really was spectacular what you can do with just a change in direction for material that's been out for years and years.
It's so true. It's so true. I thought that was like, that's what I love so much about it, is like, you can do that with anything. You can always just look at it with fresh eyes. It takes work to, like, if you know, if you're familiar with the piece, it takes work to kind of like disentangle your brain from what you know previously. But if you look at something with fresh eyes, like, you can find all kinds of new things in it. And with those songs, I mean, I thought those arrangements were just so genius and so beautifully done. And just, they made that music feel so personal and fresh. And I loved singing those songs.
Yeah, your Laurie was so amazing. And I mean, the ending with the costume, ooh, like the blood. I mean, it was just really a cool, I mean, it was one of the coolest things I think I've seen on Broadway ever, to be fair.
I have this like memory in my head of the show's over and you and Judd are holding hands before you go off. Is that just something I dreamed of?
Yeah, Patrick would hold my hand sometimes. Yeah, yeah. And probably a lot. That was probably happened all the time and I'm just not remembering. But yeah, I think sometimes we just, you know, we were like, oof, got to hold each other up, you know, after that.
Yeah.
So chilling. I mean, but you were brilliant in that. And I have to say, one of our favorite things you've done was Significant Other. I know that it was like a little moment in time there, but.
Oh, it was so fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun. I mean, that was like one of my favorite things to do too, because it's like everything I say, I'm like, this is my favorite. but there were so many things about that made that so fun, because like, I've worked with Tripp Coleman 1,000 times now. And I just, like, working with Tripp is such a treat. I mean, he's so good with actors. He's so kind with everyone. And so you just feel there's just a generosity that is just the way it is in the room. And so you have so much freedom and it's so nice. And then, so the rehearsal process was a blast. And then just all of the players in that piece were so fun. And actually getting to play such a supporting role, like not having the responsibility, like Gideon having to hold everything together and the rest of us kind of swirling around. And I had like one of the smallest roles in that piece. And it was just, it's so funny the way, like, my ego could have told me, like, I don't want to do this. Like, what is it doing for me? But oh my God, it was it fun. Cause I got to just mostly hang out backstage changing my clothes. Cause it was a costume parade for me, which was so fun. I wore the most fun costumes. And then I got to like have Sass Goldberg make me laugh. Oh. I mean, the amount of laughs that we shared backstage, I mean, it just was so much fun, because it was like so much fun on stage and then so much fun off stage and just changing clothes and hanging out with my friends. It was so fun.
And that was your play. I mean, that was your Broadway play.
Exactly. I know. It was like, I went to a conservatory, like I did mostly straight plays in college. And then it was like, you know, you graduate if you can sing. And especially if you're a person of color, especially back then, it was like, you do musicals now, which is great. I love musicals, but you know, I've gotten to do more plays off Broadway, but it's so fun to get to do a play on Broadway, because, you know, Broadway is really fun, but you know, if you're doing a musical 8 shows a week, it is, that pressure on Broadway is, it's different from off Broadway. It really is. And the exhaustion is different. And so getting to do a straight play and just not having to have the element of how is my instrument today? Like, am I talking too much? Like, you know, this kind of thing, like not being able to commit to doing a podcast because I'm like, oh, can I afford to use my voice for an hour? You know, it's like,
that would stress me out.
Yeah. It's just, it's very stress inducing. It can be.
Sure. Yeah.
But so yeah, doing that play was like, what a dream. Can we do this forever? I remember thinking like, I wish that this could be a long running play, because then I could do all the, like those, like going back all the way back, like I could do all the TV auditions and have the room for that and not be stressed. And it would be like a show I could come back to.
Yeah. I wish that it was like, cause I know that it was with Roundabout off Broadway. I wish that it would have stayed with Roundabout, to be fair though, when it came to Broadway. Cause I feel like it would have maybe had a more built in audience and then it wouldn't have been as much pressure. And I don't know, look, it was just such a tricky season though, as well. With
it was,
you know,
it was, I kind of also wish we could have turned it into a TV show.
Ooh.
You know, or like just a fun movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Like a 4-part miniseries or something like that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Each friend has their episode. And
Yeah.
I mean, it was so good that, because we got to chat with Gideon. We had Sass on a few years ago. I mean, everyone just says the same amazing things about that experience. And so thank you for being a part of it. It was
oh really my fun. Gosh.
I'll never hear that Celine. I'll never hear
Celine?
That song the same ever again. Anytime I hear it.
Yes. Classic. I know there have been a couple times I've like heard it in the grocery store or something, and I'll just like record myself and send it to the group. Oh. You know, never then, forget.
Was that Lindsay Mendez was in there too, of course.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. All she stars. Was also incredible in All Stars.
And Barbara Barry, right?
Yeah, Barbara Barry. Oh, the best. I actually saw Barbara. She came to see the show at Classic Stage, and like, what a sweetheart. I mean, that woman's, she's incredible.
Yeah.
We're running out of time here. Rebecca, you're just the loveliest. I knew this was going to be so fun. I need to ask about And Just Like That.
Oh.
Because I saw that in your credits, and I've only watched it through like one time. You know, not like with Sex and the City where I've gone back and revisited.
Yes.
But can you remind me what
yes.
your role
yes,
was?
Yes, no, totally. Like I'm almost unrecognizable. First of all, I will say like, I think it was, I guess it was post- pandemic, right? Like when did that
think,
show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think in season one, there was like on set photos of like Sarah Jessica with a mask right. on. We were like,
oh, okay, yes.
Is this going to be a COVID? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, right. So first of all, let me just say like all of the love to all of my past selves for, you know, for all the reasons, but she was packing on a couple of extra lbs at the time because of,
relatable.
You know, honey, when she was in lockdown, she had nothing. She had no choice. She did a lot of eating. Also drinking.
Of course. yes. I mean, we drink a bottle of wine on Zoom every week with our friends. Like that's like the
you
thing
do what all, you gotta yeah. do. Mm-hmm. So I was a little heavier, but also they straightened my hair for the episode. So okay. it's like, you know, when I have straight hair, it's like, it is like, who is this? What I will tell you is it's the episode where Kelly Goff wrote it. And the episode is where Charlotte is having a dinner party, and she realizes she doesn't have any black friends, and so she asks her neighbor who is black, she asks her and her husband to come be a part of her dinner party, and the neighbor is like, come again, you know, the kind of gets the vibe of Charlotte's like really over the top annoying at the door, and
but, her friend Lisa Todd Wexler or whatever her name LTW is coming over or something like that.
Yes,
she wants to make sure that there's yeah
okay. yes that's right that's exactly yeah. right mm-hmm. yes yes
I remember now. Gosh, Kristen Davis really gets all the comedy beats and Just Like That. She has so much to play with her role. I think, you know, the way that shook out. So
yeah, which is really fun. She's great at it. And that character, Charlotte, like, I think I didn't realize back in the day with Sex and the City how much she's a comedian. You know, it's like that role is so like iconic and like, where is he? Like, and you think of her as kind of like annoying and like girly and all these things. Yeah. But it's like, oh, that's actually comedy. Like what Kristen Davis is doing is so brilliant. It's like really, really sharp comedy, you know?
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
So it was pretty fun to act with her too. She's so nice.
That's great. Yeah. I hold certain people just these high regards. So that's always refreshing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cause you never know.
Yeah. Well, people love to always share like the one bad story they have too. So it's always like, come on, like one person's bad day might not, you know, mean they're not a nice or generous person.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've lucked out. I've only had like one TV experience where I worked with somebody and I was like, oh, that's, it's a little bit of a bummer for my little fangirl heart.
Yeah.
But I won't even say who it is because you know what? You never know. That person could have been having a bad day.
Mm-hmm. If you find me at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday, it's not my best work, you know?
Right.
It's tough.
Right.
Not to make excuses, but you know.
Yeah. And this actor also had this person that I'm thinking of, like had been on this show. It's like one of those long running episodics. Like this person had been on the show for so many years, number one on the show. And like, you know, I'm like nobody. I'm a random ass actor doing a guest star role. And she's like, do I have to even give a shit about this girl? Mm. No, she frankly doesn't. So,
but when she knows who you actually are, then she'll be sorry. But anyway,
at first I was like, I hope this isn't someone on Smash. And then I was like, well, they only lasted two seasons. So it couldn't have been
Smash. No, it wasn't Smash. Smash was fun. And
were you on season one or two?
I was on season one. And again, I had straight hair on that one too.
Do you remember the episode that you wrote? Like what was the storyline?
Ooh, no. Okay. I remember that it was Catherine McPhee. She is like going home. She like goes home to where she's from, like
Iowa.
And I was like one of her home friends.
Oh.
And so I think because of that, like we straightened my hair because it was like, you know, more like hometown.
Yeah. When she sings Redneck Woman at the bar. And her dad weirdly watches from the background. And
Yes, which was Dylan Baker, who then I worked with again on the Marvel podcast.
Oh, he's just amazing.
Icon. I mean, he is so amazing. And again, such a mensch and like so lovely to work with. And that was so fun to do with him. And then I didn't work with Megan Hilty on Smash, but years later, like just a year, 2 years ago or something, I filmed like a short recurring role on this show that hasn't come out yet that she's on. That's called The Pradeeps of Pittsburgh. Y'all look out for it. It's a comedy. It's going to be so funny.
Oh, I love to hear that. God.
It's going to be very funny. And I felt so lucky. It shoots in Toronto, but it was so, oh my gosh, it was so fun to do.
Oh my God, we could talk to you forever and ever, but we're wrapping here. Before we say goodbye, we do end on a dose of drama. This is something on our mind, something, you know, that we're doing tonight, a little pop culture recommendation, something we've been thinking about, a rant, a rave, could be truly anything. And I am going to kick it off, and I'm cheating a little bit because I'm just going to like ask you about one of your credits. But one of my favorite movies, I'm serious, like this is one that I love. You're in Someone Great, that was on Netflix, the Gina Rodriguez, Brittany Snow, coming of age, girlhood, 20s New York movie that I think just hit at the right time for me.
Yes.
Oh my God. Thank you for being a part of cinema. I mean, and also I can't mention this movie without saying that the writer of this film was inspired by Taylor Swift's song Clean. And then Taylor loved the movie, so she wrote a song inspired by that that's on her Lover album called Death by a Thousand Cuts. So,
all right.
Just had to say all those connections.
That is so cool. Oh my God, I love that you brought this up. I love that movie too. It's so good, right? Because so I feel like it's a coming of age story and it's like a love letter and it's a love letter to New York. Mm-hmm. And like to, you know, of course to friends and to, you know, college age and to like, to that specific like time of life. But it really, there's so much about it that's like a love letter to New York. Oh, I loved doing that so much. Cause I was also like, I had watched Gina Rodriguez on her show and I just thought she was a genius, a full on genius. And so getting to work with her was really cool. And DeWanda was so welcoming to me.
She like was your love interest, right?
She was my love interest. Okay. Yeah. And she, it was so sweet. Like when I saw her, she was like, oh my God, when they told me that you had put yourself on tape, I was like, please let it be her. Because she was like, I loved you. I've loved your work for a long time. So it was like one of those things where you show up and you feel like, oh, I'm being welcomed here. I belong here, which goes such a long way for somebody who's not one of the leads in either a TV show or a film, for people to like make it a point to tell you that they want you there. Mm-hmm. Just goes so long, so far.
Aw, I love that.
It was awesome. So fun too. But that movie was so fun. It was like the writing was so good. The director was so great.
RuPaul makes an appearance.
Yeah. Highly recommend if people haven't seen it. It was a blast.
Yeah,
still. So, and there's a cover. There's a Frank Ocean cover of Moon River in that movie that is so beautiful. I don't know if anyone's heard it, but it's really good.
Wait, I have to say, I remember RuPaul was, when Ru had a podcast, was talking, I think, with Gina Rodriguez about the movie. Ru could not for the life of him remember the title of the movie. He kept being like, something good. Someone good.
Yeah.
That's so good. Yes.
So good. Yeah. So good.
Oh, that's hilarious. Something else.
Yeah, right. All the different variations. Oh, I remember that too, Connor. Okay, my dose of drama is a music recommendation. I have recently gotten into the singer Self Esteem, who is her name is Rebecca Lucy Taylor. She's currently playing Sally in the West End Cabaret, but she is phenomenal. And she actually provided all of the music that was in Prima Facie, the Broadway play last year with Jodie Comer. And it's just beautiful. And she has great wisdom in all of her music. And she's queer. And so I just love, that's my recommendation. She's absolutely fabulous. And Connor, what is the song that I'm obsessed with hers that you were singing to me?
Oh, before? I Do This All the Time.
I Do This All the Time. Listen, I Do This All the Time by Self Esteem. Okay.
Self Esteem.
Yes. Okay. Now, cool. Another Rebecca. What is your dose of drama, Rebecca?
Okay. I mean, it's tough. Like I have read a couple of books recently that I want to recommend, but I think I'm just going to go ahead and say, if anybody has not watched either Bad Sisters or Catastrophe. I've just recently become a huge fan of Sharon Horgan. And I'm just like, who is this woman? How is she so brilliant? I know I'm late to the party, but my God, she's just like so inspiring to me because she's so, so funny. She's so sharp. and just like endlessly watchable. And so I highly recommend those things. We like tore through Bad Sisters and now we're watching that. Although, okay. And now that I'm saying these things, I also want to go back and say, if you haven't watched.
Oh my God. Happy Valley.
Oh, yes. I've heard amazing.
People love
things.
That.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You must. Yeah. You must.
Yes. Well, thank you for the recommendation. And also thank you for this amazing chat today, Rebecca. You are such a delight.
Thank you. I'm so long-winded. I was like, oh, I've like taken up all our time with like,
no. Oh my God, no.
Our listeners are going to be so pleased to hear from you. And you've given us so many amazing performances over the years. And I'm just really grateful that we had this time today.
Me too. I'm glad we finally were able to do it.
Yes. Thank you. And everybody needs to follow you. You're on Instagram at one Rebecca Jones.
That's right. And I'm actually making a pact with myself that I'm going to be more present on Instagram in 2024 because I'm so averse to it, but I'm like, ma'am, this is, you show up. You show
there
up.
You everyone will live for your content. So
yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.
While everyone's following you, they've got to follow the Drama Podcast if they're not already. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Pods. I'm at Connor McDowell and Dylan's at Dylan McDowell.
Yes. Thank you so much. And thank you again, Rebecca. This was amazing.
Thank you.
All right, Connor. I will see you next time.
Drama.